Gentlemen and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, alive from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. The Nashville Predators, the winners of free agency, going away today on July 1st. I know we're in Nashville, Tennessee, but apparently it feels like we're celebrating Canada Day around here. UC Soros kicked it off with an 8-year, 7.74 AAV. Scott Wedgwood is going to back him up. 2 years, 1.5. Alexander Carrier, 3 years, 3.75. Of course, followed by the big ones. Jonathan Marchessault, 5 years, 5.5. And Steven Stamkos to go with Brady Shea. Stamkos, 4 years by 8. And Shea, 7 years by 7. Which means, I think I went into this last week and I said the Predators needed like 4 more forwards and 3 more defensemen. And it seems like they're pretty close to getting there. And they do still have all of the young assets. You know, this isn't like the NFL where the salary cap is fake. But they do, the thing they spent today was money. They did not spend future assets. For instance, I wouldn't say it's a one-to-one comparison. But I look at Brady Shea and I think, okay, that is the replacement for Matthias Ekholm, which is the kind of player that I would still love to have on the Predators. But with Ekholm, they received a couple of picks, including a first rounder in last year's draft, which ended up being Tanner Mullendike. And they received Reed Schaefer, a young prospect who I think is still at Milwaukee, who may be getting a call up sooner rather than later. And so because of that, you know, they're now replacing it and they're just spending money. And they still have all the assets that are all the picks, all the prospects. I mean, all the different guys that they could possibly ask for. And Ian, my call screener went out. So if you just want to let me know when Andrew Burnett's ready, we will be joined momentarily by Andrew Burnett. Barry Trotz took to the podium today, was asked about the lines because I am actually fascinated by that. Barry Trotz said, I am not the coach, i.e. ask the coach what he's going to do with the lines. We are going to ask the coach. He said he wants to move at least one guy for the cap. And we talked about the possibilities of that. It looks like, you know, Novak at 3.5, Glass at 2.5, Shen at 2.75. I'm not sure who would want Luke Shen, but Shen at 2.75, Fabro at 2 million. He'll probably move one of those guys off. They have about 500 grand in cap space. So when all is said and done, they'll probably have about $4.5 million in cap space, which means that come trade deadline time, if this team is in contention, and I fully expect that this team will be in contention, if this team is in contention, then I think that we will foresee the Predators probably try to make a move where somebody eats that money or retains their own salary or, you know, sends it through somewhere else. But that's what all those picks are for in case they want to do that. He said there is some trade protection on the Soros front, would not get in to what kind of trade protection they gave him. Again, my gut's telling me that it is very strict on the front end and it is very open on the back end, but again, we'll wait to see what that all ends up being. Was asked about the cup window, and he said he didn't know. And what I think that really means is I think that's really Barry Trotz saying, I don't want to get into it and sit there and say that we have cup expectations. But I think there's a chance that when he talks about, hey, we're telling all the, you know, we're telling everybody that we want to win, and that's what these players are seeing when they come out, is that they want to win and we want to build them a winner. I mean, I think you're kind of saying it without saying it, that they think they're in a cup window right now. And the one thing I'll say is that I do believe that if you had Steven Stamkos or you had Jonathan Marchessault or you had those guys on the team in the Vancouver series, I think you would have won the Vancouver series. And once you get to that stage at the NHL playoffs, I know it's crazy because the cup final ended about a month and a half after the Vancouver series was over, but that's the difference in this sport. I mean, these are razor-thin margins. So does adding a top-pair defenseman, adding a 40-goal scorer, adding another one that won the Conn Smythe, you know, does that make up that gap? And we are joined now by Predators head coach Andrew Burnett on the program. First off, Andrew, happy Canada Day to you.
Yeah, no kidding. And to the Nashville Predators.
I mean, crazy. So I want to start with this. You are not the general manager of this team. So when it comes to spending the money and getting the guys and there's all the different scouts and there's the assistant GMs and, of course, there's Barry. So when it came to, hey, we're going for it in free agency, what was kind of your opinion on this? What were you saying in those meetings? And then how surprised were you to see it all come to fruition today?
Well, I think we prepare in all kinds of different ways. I wasn't really expecting all this to happen. You know, you're hoping. You just don't really feel it was going to happen until it happens. And obviously, Barry did an unbelievable job speaking to these guys and getting them to buy in what we're doing here. And so I think our brains, a lot of us were, okay, if we can't get this guy, if we get that guy, can we get this guy? You know, so I think until it starts materializing and coming together, you really have no idea what's going to go on. So this morning when I went into the office, it was a really pleasant surprise. Marcius was all of a sudden in play. And then Barry kind of closed those deals. So for us, it's just more kind of Christmas morning kind of thing. Surprised, happy, and excited.
So when the idea was kicked around in the office and they say, you know, Coach, what would you think of adding Steven Stamkos to this group? Kind of where did your head go there when you started to envision adding Stamkos to this group?
Well, I think it goes a million miles an hour. Obviously, just even thinking the power play and the shooting and the goal scoring and the Stanley Cups and the leadership and being the type of player he's been for such a long time, I think you get so excited. Again, it's like having too many gifts at Christmas where you don't really get to enjoy them and you move on to the next one. So I think they happen so quick. It's going to take me a little while to process, but you know, you just light up seeing them. You know, you're adding two 40-goal scorers to your lineup. You know, and then your brain goes, where do they fit? How do they fit? Then it starts moving 100 miles an hour. So I'm in that department right now, but full of excitement. And obviously with Brady Shea at the back end, what he brings with his movement and his you know, his overall body of work. And then happy we got Carr back along with Juice. So it's been a unbelievable week for the Nashville Predators.
Okay, so Barry was asked about, you know, who's going to play where, and he said he's not the coach. Well, you are the coach. So who centers the line with the two 40-goal scorers on it?
Well, I mean, that's, again, like I said, my mind's going 100 miles an hour. There's all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts. You know, Stamkos has played center a lot in his career. He does a really good job there. He may slot in that. You got Tommy Novak, you know, can kind of slip in there. So there's some different options. I think it'll all kind of play itself out as we get going. But I need to still, Jared, I got to put a little bit more thought into it exactly.
When you are building your team up for camp, and now you know who's going to be on your team. When you guys show up for camp, you have a pretty good idea. There might be a change here or there, but for the most part, you know who's going to be there. Do you put together a plan and say, okay, we're going to go into camp, and I'm going to keep that first line together from last year of Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist, and I'm going to put, say, Stamkos and Marchessault with the Tommy Novak, and then say, all right, I want to see how this looks in camp, or I want to see how this looks when we play some preseason games? Or do you just go into it and say, okay, I want everybody to get out there, do the drills, and then I'll start putting the chess pieces together? How do you go about that between now and October when the puck's dropped?
Well, I think for us, how we finished last year, especially the chemistry that our big line had, I think, you know, obviously you'd like to see them start, see how they do, kind of fall from last year. And I think it'll be a moving part, how we, you know, where we fit Marchessault and Stammer, and if they can they play together, who fits best with them, what do they need. And I think you get that as you get going. And obviously the exhibition games would be a great, you know, with the inner squad games and the small area games, it's hard to really see who fits with who. But I think once you get to the exhibition games, you kind of get a better feeling. See, we might move guys in and out. We might add some different pieces, and that's what makes it fun. You know, when you got all kinds of cards, you got to figure out how they work together, and we're really looking forward to it. It's better than not having any cards.
Andrew Burnett's with us, Predators head coach. Your system is very high octane, very taxing, and I do wonder, is there a thought about how you're going to kind of work in and fit in a 34-year-old Steven Stamkos or a 33-year-old Jonathan Marchessault, given the fact that as much as we'd love for these guys to still be 27 years old physically, they're probably not.
Yeah, I mean, what separates them, and I always separated them, and separated Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist, is their hockey sense. And I think the way that we like to play. For sure, there's a lot of skiing, there's a lot of work, but there's also a lot of anticipation. There's a lot of thinking. There's a lot of being a step ahead. And they're both, one, they still can skate, and two, they're extremely intelligent players that anticipate extremely well. So it might take a little time. Obviously, we do things a little bit different. You could see from our body of work last year, took a lot of our guys, you know, 15, 20 games, you know, 30 games to get accustomed to. Very similar to, you know, when I was in Florida and we had Sam Reinhart come in from Buffalo. It took him, you know, 20 games to get going, but he figured it out real fast, and he had tremendous seasons for me. So I think it, you know, we're really looking forward. It might take some time. It's always trial and error. But they've been leaders. They've won Stanley Cups. They've been a part of amazing runs. And I think they're just excited to come and fit in and play hockey here in Nashville.
Now, you are considered one of the best power play coaches, if not the best power play coach in the NHL, and you're adding Steven Stamkos to that. And I do wonder, you know, going back to all the success that he's had over the years in Tampa, you know, probably one, along with Ovechkin, probably one of the most dominant shooters on the power play in this era. How do you envision using his skill set with the pieces that you currently have on the power play?
Yeah, I'm obviously he's arguably one of the best all time on the power play, where he sits kind of Ovechkin like, and there's very few like him. Obviously, for him, it's going to be a little adjustment. I mean, he's been in Tampa for as long as he's had. They've had unbelievable success. Their power play works like clockwork because they've been together for so long. So, you know, I'm excited to see if fits. I'm excited to see who fits with who. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some work on our side to try to find that cohesiveness and work, you know, how do you get Phil in there, et cetera. So it's going to take a little work, and it's going to take a little bit unselfish kind of behavior by a lot of our players. And that's been one of, you know, you talk about our identity. Our identity, we don't want to change that because we've had many different pieces that play with no ego, and I'm expecting the same for our new guys to come in here and fit like a glove.
Andrew Burnett's with us. Speaking of the power play, I look at Edmonton, and I mean, they load up that first power play unit with Draisaitl, McDavid, Hyman, Bouchard. I wonder, when you're thinking about this, just your philosophy, before you get out there and try different people out, would your philosophy be, hey, let's load up that first power play unit. You've got 340 goal scorers, Ryan O'Reilly, a first-line center, and Roman Josi on the back end of that. Or would you say, hey, let's even this out so that for the whole 2 minutes of a power play, we're going to at least have a 40-goal scorer on the ice at all times, say Marchessault's on the second unit, that you feel like there's still some scoring pop on that second unit? Philosophically speaking, are you more of a loaded up on the first unit, or are you going to want to spread it out between the two?
Well, I think I've done it both ways. I think, you know, to start, I think you'd like to load it up and just see how they feel with each other. Do we have the rhythm and the cadence necessary to be successful? Are they comfortable in different spots in the power play? So I think it's going to, you know, you're asking some guys to be a little bit uncharacteristic, you know, obviously with O'Reilly, can he play net front? He's played in the bumpers whole basically career. Can we move him there? Can we move Phil to net front? Can we move Phil to the bumper? Can we keep Phil where he is? Same with Marcia. So I think we're pretty confident where Stamkos is going to sit and where Yossel sit. But I think it's very similar to you're talking about who they play with and how they play. It'll work itself out. You know, I've been around enough really good players and great players. They usually figure it out. So let's just see where they're at. And if not, you know, we've got Tommy Novak. We've got Evangelista. We got Gus Nyquist. I mean, that, if they're on the other power play, if they're split up, I mean, those are unbelievable options too.
On the back end of this, Coach, do you view yourself, you know, hey, Lauzon and Carrier last year really found something. You know, Fabbro has played with Josi. Or how do you kind of view the pairings? Are you going to want to put Brady Shea with Josi, even though they're both left shots? Are you going to want to break them up, and then it's almost like you've got two number one defensemen for those top pairs? What are you thinking on defense?
Well, I think the Lowe's and Carr, the chemistry they have and the enjoyment they have playing with each other, would be really tough to move them around. You know, Fab's had good success with Yost. I think with Yost has been really good on the right side, so you might try Brady Shea, see Yost on the right, depending on where we're at. Then you got, you know, Schenner, and then we got a plethora of young defensemen coming. So, again, you know, it's so early. Your mind's racing. You're trying to figure out where everything fits. Kind of like a massive jigsaw puzzle here, but the pieces are pretty dynamic. So it's going to be a summer here, Jared, for the next 2 months of trying to figure that out.
Andrew Burnett's with us, head coach of the Nashville Predators. How much does winning in the past mean to you for, A, those same players winning in the future with this team right now, but also what it means for Evangelista, what it means for this whole plethora of young guys that have been brewing, whether it's Kimmel or LaRue or Svechkov or Schaefer or whomever? How much does that matter? Because Stamkos has won, O'Reilly has won, Marchessault has won. You know, Brady Shea's been a part of some really good teams in Carolina. I mean, how big was that winning to you as the coach?
Well, I think you could see the effect it had at our organization this year and our young kids and the Evangelistas and the Novaks and the Lozons and the Cars. Like, to be around Ryan O'Reilly, you know, Ryan McDonagh, guys that Luke Shen that comes in, guys that have won and they're you know, as Barry will call them, serial winners. You can't have enough of them. And I think organizationally, culturally, that is imperative. And I've seen it firsthand with our group from watching how they mesh with Ryan O'Reilly and these guys and watching them grow as not just hockey players, but leaders. I mean, we're getting lucky here. We've got a, you know, obviously we got a great first tier. We got a secondary tier and some of our young guys are learning and they're falling that third tier. So you can't have enough of them, I think, as an organization. And we're blessed. And you get Stamkos and Marchessault that come in that have won. Brady Shea's been an outstanding team his whole career. So to have those guys come in, we're just going to, you know, our young guys are sponges off them. And again, back to the identity and who we are, I think we'll come in and fit in real good.
Coach, how do you feel that the expectations have changed from where you were a year ago when we were talking about, you know, hey, fans, like this may be a tough process here and it's going to have to adapt to a new system and there's going to be some young guys that we're going to try to see who sticks and who doesn't. To today, where we're talking about Steven Stamkos, Brady Shea, Jonathan Marchessault, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, UC Sars. Like, how have those expectations changed for you?
Well, I think you just adding those guys, they change. I think expectations, every season's different. Obviously, there's a different set of expectations this year. I think there was an set of expectations last year where we were trying to build a culture and we were trying to find different pieces that fit and how they fit and where they fit. Now we have some big pieces. I still have to, you know, find where they fit. So our expectations is just continue to build the journey that we're on with this group, continue adding. But the most important thing is we keep who we are. And I think that'll be, for me, the battle and the struggle and keep me up at night to get us ready for next season. And the pieces will fit. I just have to make them find a way to fit. So, yeah, expectations is, I guess you can change, but they change every year. It's a different set of circumstances, but it's hard every year in our league.
When you say that, I mean, I kind of have a theory that I guess I'd want your opinion on, which is I think the margins in this sport are so small that the difference between you winning the Vancouver series, I mean, it was a play here or there. It was a stop here or there. I think the difference between Vancouver losing that series to Edmonton was probably a goal here or there, a bounce here or there. And we saw how far Edmonton got to the, you know, in the cup final. And the fact that Edmonton, you know, again, it was, the margins were razor, razor thin. These are some big names and some big salaries. How much does that make you feel like maybe now you've got a better shot at capitalizing on those margins because of who's on this team as compared to last year when you guys were really riding a lot of momentum from guys that were having great seasons that maybe hadn't done as much in the past?
Yeah, we need everybody. I think the margins, like you said, are razor thin. If you look at the Vancouver series, you know, we played 360, you know, 2 minutes, just, you know, thinking back of it. And there was maybe 3.5 minutes of that changed that whole series. And those are just small margins. And you look at the Edmonton-Vancouver series, you could almost say the same thing. And again, like you said, and I think every series has these little margins. And even though sometimes they don't go seven, they might go six. But it's a cruel game sometimes. Just even think how Edmonton, you know, lost game seven. It is cruel. But I think when you have guys, and you can look at Florida, they've gone through it a few times. You know, they knocked on the door last year. So I think experience in our game means so much that you're able to grab those moments and understand those margins and understand when they're important. And talked about all year after, you know, game one in Vancouver, we gave up 2 goals in 13 seconds. And that is a learning experience that you grow from. And you got to go through it a few times. And I think if you do, you kind of change the margins just by being able to handle those different types of situations.
Andrew Burnett's with us. Two more for you, Coach. The first one is this. As a coach, what is the conversation with Yaroslav Askarov? I know you're not the general manager, so you're not picking who goes where. But this is a young player who's got a lot of promise, who I'm sure, while he's probably not mad at UC Soros or mad at the organization, there is only one goalie. What is kind of the conversation as the coach with somebody like that who at some point this year you guys may be relying on?
Yeah, I think you have to have some compassion for him. I think it is a really tough position. He's a young kid. He's put a couple years in the American League. He's feeling he's kind of getting ready. And you see Juice sign for the amount, 8 years, and I'm sure that's really hard for any kid, any player, to really wrap your head around. And I think the emotions of it happens early on, I think, sometimes get the best of you, or maybe you get a little, you look too far ahead. I think my conversation with him would just be, stay in the moment. Don't look too far ahead. Let's have our best hockey season. Come to camp, have a great camp, and let's move from there. And that's hard for young kids. So I think for me, again, the show a little compassion for him, a little understanding for him, and then help him try to just move forward slowly. It's not a race. He's such a young kid. He's going to be a great goalie, and we'll just keep continue progressing. And you never know what happens in this league. And I think if you take it a day at a time, come ready to play, that growth mindset we talk all the time, just keep getting better. When you keep getting better, everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, I'm not sure at 21 or 22, Coach, that I necessarily was going to be able to take things day by day, but that's just
exactly.
Me. Last one for you. Andrew Burnett is with us. We're talking about all the older guys that we all know, that we're all excited about, the 40-goal scorers. We know that Evangelista kind of broke through last year, but there was kind of a group of guys between Parsonen and Tomasino, and even guys that maybe didn't come up like LaRue or Svechkov. When you get these guys in camp and they're all there, how much are you looking at them saying, okay, I might have one or two spots available. Who's going to win that spot? And how much do you think about those guys and consider those guys as being a part of your team for next year?
Well, I think they're in unbelievable spots. And I'm super excited for our youth of our organization. I think when you add these pieces, and I talked a little bit about it last year, the Marchessaults, the Stamkos, the guys, Gus Nyquist. And when you're a young player trying to, you know, make a name in the NHL for yourself, to come up here and grow as a player, there's no better way to grow. I talked a little bit about culturally with you know, O'Reilly coming in last year and how that's helped our young guys. And that's just on the culture part, but even on the playing part, when you play with better players as a young player, you learn how to play much faster, meaning you'll be a better player quicker. And I think you put them in better positions to succeed. It was hard on a lot of our young guys last year because, you know, it's hard in our league if you're playing 3 on the line or, you know, 2 and et cetera. But I think if you can get a really, you know, arguably superstar players, excellent NHL players to play with, it helps your growth. It helps your confidence level. So there's going to be some great opportunities. It's kind of that influx of youth that we're going to need on different lines. I'm super excited to see how Luke Evangelista comes back ready to go in camp and Tommy Novak. And then, you know, you talked about LaRue and Parsonen and, you know, you go with Schaefer, Svechkov, Tomasino, all these guys. We're going to get some opportunities to play with some really good players. It's going to be really competitive for them. But I think the compete organizationally is the best thing for our group. And it's going to be a really fun camp. I can't wait to see our kids. Carl Taylor's done an unbelievable job down there, him and Scott Nickel growing them. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them play and play with some really good players.
Andrew Burnett, head coach of the Nashville Predators. Coach, I don't congratulate people when they draft players or sign players because that, to me, is when the work starts. But it's very exciting around here. I'm not going to lie about that. So I just wish you a very happy Canada Day. And with development camp and everything else, we look forward to getting the season started here right around the corner.
All right, Jared. Thanks a lot, man.
Yep. Andrew Burnett, head coach of the Nashville Predators, joining us on the program. I just can't, like, sit there and say, like, congratulations on signing a guy. Like, I'm almost more like, hey, congratulations on signing O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist last year because those worked out incredibly well. But it is exciting. It is exciting. All right, I got one big takeaway from that. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Truly has been a whirlwind of the last few days. Lots of emotions, you know, probably into last night. Had a pretty good feeling that we were going to have to make a big decision when we woke up this morning. So probably not the best of sleeps for anyone in the household, but certainly we knew once the sun came up, there was going to be a decision to be made. We knew that there was obviously a lot of teams interested, with Nashville being one of them. And probably around, you know, later in the morning here, we had narrowed it down, and Nashville was the team that we decided to sign with. So it certainly went pretty fast, but like I said, we're so excited to be part of this amazing franchise. Obviously, we saw what happened today with some of the other signings. So a great day to be a Nashville Predators fan. And like I said, very, very excited to be part of that.
That was Steven Stamkos. I got to tell you something. I think Stamkos is right up their alley. You know, he is so boring. You know, that was basically the same interview he did on TSN earlier today, you know, which was like, hey, you know, it was really tough for us to turn the page, but now we've turned the page and we're excited and we're like, but boy, I bet when it comes to playing hockey, I bet that guy is just relentless. And that is what Barry Trotz cares about. Now, I have a couple of, one big takeaway, or a couple of takeaways from what Andrew Burnett said. The first and foremost is, I think we know where his head is as far as the lines are concerned without him just coming out and saying it, right? You know, saying, oh, man, your head's moving a million miles an hour, and so my head's moving a lot here. And I think there's something to that. Like, I think there is, that's probably real. But at the same time, I think he's going to give that first line of Forsberg, O'Reilly, Nyquist, he's going to keep them together at the beginning of the year. So when they get to training camp and they play in the preseason, those three are going to be together. That's going to be their top line to start the season. I then asked him, I said, so who is going to center the second line? You know, who's going to center the line with the two 40-goal scorers? Because remember, in Tampa, Stamkos, while he is technically a center, Stamkos has played on the left wing. I said, who's going to center that line? And he said, well, you know, Stamkos could play center, but we got some other guys in there like a Tommy Novak that maybe, you know, could. Translation to me, Novak's going to get the first crack at it, but if they feel like Novak is not up to snuff, they will move Stamkos to center and Evangelista will go up to that line. And they will then have the top six forwards in the top six. If you do it my way, where, again, I would probably be more likely to see Sissons there than I would be to see Novak, just because I don't trust Novak. But if you did it my way, where you had Stamkos and Marchessault, you know, on the wings, then you're not going to have Evangelista centering that line. He's going to have to play on the third line. If they just want to go with the top six, he's going to move Stamkos to center. If not, Novak's going to be the number two center with Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. And I will say this, if you cannot play, like as we saw in the Vancouver series, if you cannot play the way Tommy Novak could not play in that series, if you cannot play with Steven Stamkos on one wing and Jonathan Marchessault, 40-goal scorer, a Conn Smythe on the other end, you can't play. It's as simple as that. So I think Novak's going to get the first crack there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they decide, you know what, let's put Evangelista on the wing, let's move Stamkos into center. The other thing was, I asked him, I said, philosophically speaking, Ian, do you like how I did that, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You can't weasel out of it and say, oh, well, you know, we haven't even gotten to training camp yet. I can't decide if I want to load up the first power play unit or if I want to spread it out with the second.
Just general principles.
Philosophically speaking, Jared, do you like boring interviews of guests, of writers, of other things that nobody cares about, or do you like to deliver takes on the radio? Philosophically speaking, I like to give takes on the radio. On a case-by-case basis, it might be different. Greg Bedard writes that Rand Carthon's a minority-driven hire from the league. Well, let's go talk to Greg Bedard and see if there's any truth behind that. Oh, it doesn't seem like there is. Okay. You know, so it would different on a case-by-case basis, but philosophically speaking, I mean, I like giving out takes. And I said, would you load up the first power play? Because they can put 340 goal scorers, Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi on a power play unit. I mean, I'm not going to say that that's Edmonton because McDavid is McDavid. And I'm not going to say that that's Colorado when Colorado is right, because that includes Landeskog being in there. And between, you know, again, McKinnon, McCarr, and Rantanen, like, those guys are still in their 20s for the most part. Like, it's a little different. But it's hard for me to think that that's not going to be one of the best power play units in the NHL. Ryan O'Reilly centers, and then, you know, kind of plays into that, you know, in front of the net. And then Stamkos is standing there at the half wall. And then Forsberg probably is in that bumper spot. And then Marcia shows out on the other side, and Yossi's running point. It's hard for me to envision that you can have a much better power play unit than that.
I kind of like Forsberg on the opposite side of Stamkos on the wing on that. Because Forsberg likes to come down on a strong side there and take that wrist shot when he's kind of skating towards the net. And that could be a good little, hey, am I going to shoot this or am I going to try the cross crease pass over to Stamkos, who's wide open for the one timer.
So you're putting Marchessault in the bumper?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm cool with that too. But do you load it up or do you run Gus Nyquist out there with that unit and you put Marchessault on the second unit so that, hey, you know, you get a couple of cracks at it, they clear it, there's, you know, 45 seconds left on the power play, and so you're going off for a change, and now you're hopping a 40-goal scorer off the bench, and he's getting right out there on the ice with Novak and Evangelista and that group.
I kind of like Marc Chessault on the second pairing, on the second power play, on the same spot as Stamkos.
So, but did you hear philosophically what he said?
About loading up?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
He said he's done it both ways, but philosophically, he leans more towards loading it up.
Mm-hmm. Well?
I vote loading it up.
We'll have to see.
I mean, what? To load it up, baby!
Well, that, you know, that does, is it as tricky as far as righty-lefty shot when it comes to that? Because then you'll have three right shots and two left shots. And one of your left shots will be O'Reilly, and the other one will be Josi. And then you'll have Marchessault, Stamkos, and Forsberg as your right shots. So you have to be able to make sure they're in the right position. And that's where maybe Marchessault could work in the high bumper there. If you have them stacked across in the line, Forsberg, Marchessault, Stamkos, and he can either do the, you know, kind of soft saucer pass into the middle to Marchessault, Forsberg, or he could go cross ice to Stamkos on the far side.
Sounds like you're talking yourself into loading it up.
It's possible. Yeah, maybe. I'm not
load
sure.
Load it up, baby.
We'll have to see.
Hey, that's what we pay all that money for. I just say this right now. As a season ticket holder who's got tickets on one side of the ice by the net, which means that I, you know, I'm watching them just fire pucks in there when they're on offense on that side of the net, load up the power play, baby. Now, the one thing I will say is, like, I watch Edmonton, and I was just amazed about the fact that McDavid and Draisaitl don't come off. You can't ask a 34-year-old Stamkos to be out there for 2 minutes at a time. You can't ask a 33-year-old Marchessault to be out there for 2 minutes at a time, especially the regular season. Maybe in the playoffs it's a little different, but I'm not sure you can ask much for that. By the way, I don't think it was an accident that Andrew Burnett dropped in the interview, you know, that, yeah, it took Sam Reinhart a minute when he was playing for me in Florida, but when he came over from Buffalo, but translation, yeah, I did that. That 8 years, $8.65 million. All right, let's get to your thoughts on the YouTube chat or phone, 615-737-1025. Happy Canada Day to the Nashville Predators. It's Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063 The Game.
When you made your decision with Nashville, were you aware at the same time, hey, did they tell you, hey, Stamkos is coming too, Brady Shea is coming as well?
I didn't know about Brady, but I know about the rumors of Stammer, and at some point today I called him. Me and him, we played together in Tampa, so I gave him a call, and we were like, yeah, we're doing it. So we were like, well, congrats. And he said, well, congrats to you too. So it was a pretty comical situation, but we're definitely excited to go there over there together.
So that was Jonathan Marchessault on TSN saying, yeah, I didn't know about Brady Shea, but I heard the rumors about Stamkos. And I said, screw it. I picked up the phone. I called Stamkos. I said, hey, you going to Nashville? He said, yeah. So cool. So am I. And I think that that's probably a big deal as to why I think I will expect to see those two start out together with Marchessault and Stamkos. Ian, I have a theory.
Okay. Please share.
My theory is the Predators were probably interested. I mean, the Predators have been linked to Brady Shea the entire time. We said on the show Friday that I predicted that the Predators were going to sign Steven Stamkos and Brady Shea. Like, and it wasn't that I had any insight. Yeah, I interview the general manager all the time, but it wasn't like I had any special extra insight into Barry Trotz that most people didn't hear when he was on the show. You know, I hear some things here and there, but nothing that, you know, again, it was just the public perception, and I kept hearing, you know, the insiders, the Pierres, the Elliots, I just kind of felt like, yeah, this is going to be real. I think they're going to sign Stamkos. I think they're going to sign Brady Shea. And the other guy I thought they were going to sign was Chandler Stephenson, who was that center that I never heard of from Vegas that everyone said, oh, he played for Barry when they won the cup in Washington, and, you know, he would be a good second-line center. And so I figured they were going to sign those three guys. Then, Saturday, Tampa Bay made a move. When they traded Sergachev to, who did they trade
Utah.
To? To Utah, that's right. They traded Sergachev, 26-year-old defenseman, making $8.5 million. I couldn't believe they did it. But they traded Sergachev, and everybody said, oh, there's the cap space for Stamkos. And that's what I thought. I thought at that point, because all
that
indications
and the
were,
trade. Yeah,
all indications were Tampa was going to try to lowball Stamkos, try to give him a long deal, long term, in order to keep a low AAV. And so I figured that what they were going to do was once they made that trade, okay, they figured that no, the market, Nashville, they're going to offer too much money. We have to just go ahead and do it. We have to just bite the bullet. We have to just do it. And so they decided, you know what, this is it, this is what we're doing. But then, all of a sudden, it came out that night, no, 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 that move was for Jake Guentzel, which, I'm not farming their land, I don't know what they're thinking, that's their opinion. But, when they did that, I think the Predators probably had the same reaction that I had, which was, oh, there's the money for Stamkos, well, if we can't get in on Stamkos, who else can we get in on? Which is what made me think that's when they started talking to Marchessault. I think they went into this expecting Stamkos, and I was told on Friday, when I asked about the rumors, I was told, I mean, we're going to try. Like, that's what I was told. Not the, oh, we feel confident we'll land. I was told we're going to try. So I think that they saw Stamkos as kind of their option A. And then they picked up the phone and they checked in on Marchessault when they were worried that they were going to lose option A, wanted to make sure they were ready for option B. So then they knew kind of what the market would be on Marchessault because they had kicked the tires when they saw that Stamkos might go back to Tampa Bay. So then when they got Stamkos done, they probably were looking at Stephenson. Stephenson ended up signing for more money and for a 7-year term in Seattle. And Barry was probably like, that's too rich for my blood, but he knows what the market for Marchessault is, so it was probably that was the pivot, was Stevenson's too much, let's go to Marchessault. And so I think Barry only kicked the tires on Marchessault because he was going to be out on Stamkos when they made the trade of Sergachev, only to find out that Tampa really didn't want Stamkos, they wanted to go with Guentzel, so he knew and had prepared what it would take to land Jonathan Marchessault. Landon Stamkos said, I can get them both. And that's what I think happened. That's kind of my hot take on all of that.
Okay.
Julien Brisebois, the general manager at Tampa Bay, has some thoughts on Stamkos. So I want to hit those for you next, and whatever phones that we, or whatever YouTube chats we didn't get to, we'll do that next. And let's give something away. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at Bridgestone Arena on July 21st. Good luck on that. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You talked about the great memories you'll have, but will there be any tinge of bitterness that the organization didn't try harder to make it happen?
Well, listen, it's such an emotional time right now. I can't lie and say that, you know, really since the beginning of last year when I didn't get an extension that, you know,
you're a human. You have emotions and you want things to go your way, but that's just your perspective. Everyone else has a different perspective. And, you know, certainly Julian in Tampa has a different vision. And at the end of the day, it's a business. As harsh as it can be sometimes, you have to live with those decisions. And like I said, it's not for a lack of effort on my side of trying to make things work out in Tampa, but it's not fair to Nashville for me to sit here and say, you know, I really wanted to be in Tampa. Everyone knows I did. It didn't work out. And I'm just as thrilled to be joining the Nashville Predators, like I just mentioned, for a multitude of reasons. And as you, like I just said, you can see by how aggressive they've been today already that their commitment to winning is second to none.
I'll tell you what, that is a gold medal in moving on from Steven Stamkos. You know, he's asked by TSN, hey, is there really anything there that you should, you know, any bitterness towards Tampa? Look, man, I'm pissed they didn't give me an extension. I'm pissed they didn't want me back. I mean, I thought I poured out my soul there, and I still think I got game. But, hey, it would do me no favors, and it would do no favors to the Predators that just paid me a fortune. It would do me no favors to sit here and cry about it. So, no, I'm excited to be a Predator, and they made their decision. It is what it is. And I got to give him credit. I don't think you're going to see any Freddie Freeman crying moments like you did with him out of Steven Stamkos. But Julien Brisebois, the general manager, it is Brisebois, right, Ian? That's how you pronounce it?
Brisebois.
Brisebois. Julien Brisebois, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, who I'm not sold on as being that great of a general manager because I don't know what he was thinking by dumping Sergachev to go get Jake Guentzel, but that's just me, says that on letting Steven Stamkos walk in free agency, quote, I know the fans are disappointed. I know Steven's disappointed, and I'm disappointed. What? He continues. This is from Chris Johnston, who's with TSN. Says, Brisebois said he felt that if he met Stamkos' financial expectations on a new contract, then the Tampa Bay Lightning, quote, would not be putting ourselves in the best position to chase championships moving forward. So basically, he said, yeah, we can't afford to pay him and still try to win the cup. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, I understand. Personally, and again, this is without watching, I am not trying to compare myself to Kevin Weeks here. I mean, I watch the Predators, and then I watch whatever else is on whenever I'm not busy with something else, which is very rarely during the regular season, and more so during the playoffs. But if I had to pick between a 34-year-old Steven Stamkos or I'm going to guess Jake Guentzel's 28, 29 years old.
I think he's 29 for sure, maybe 30.
Okay. I'm taking Stamkos. And I guarantee you Stamkos would have given you a hometown discount. Like, if he's playing for 8 for you, I bet he would have played for them for 6. And I'm betting on Stamkos. I just think Stamkos is a better player right now. Now, they may look at it and they may say that 3 years down the road, when Guentzel is 3 years into a 7-year deal.
Yeah, he'll be 30 at the start of the season.
So when 3 years from now, when Guentzel's 33 and Stamkos is 37, that maybe it'll be a better deal for them. And that is part of the equation they got to figure out. But I would rather have Stamkos for 4 than Guentzel for 7. I'm not a huge Guentzel guy. And I know Guentzel went to Carolina and put up numbers. I get it. He's not just a product of Sidney Crosby. But I wouldn't have given Guentzel the money. This just in from Chris Johnson. Julien Brisebois says NHL players in the cap era like Steven Stamkos don't sign their 4th contract well ahead of time. I think we've only signed a year early, and it was for Anze Kopitar. We were far along with Victor Hedman here. He'll probably be the 2nd exemption. Brisebois says, I don't think we're going to gain much by going play-by-play here, especially right now because everything is raw and everything is so emotional, as there were a number of different structures that he felt could have worked. I don't know, man. When you give Guentzel the money, it sounds to me like you wanted to pay Guentzel, you didn't want to pay Stamkos, which again, my question is this for the Predators, which is the reason why Tampa didn't want to pay the money, because they think that Stamkos is, you know, is all used up, that the tread's off the tires? Or is this taking advantage of their stupidity again, the way you did with the Tanner Jeannot trade, which they got themselves out of? Julien Brisebois, on being known as the guy who cuts ties with Steven Stamkos, it comes with the job. Kurt says, man, I am so excited to watch this team in October. Me too, Kurt. Lance says, native Tennesseans weren't really watching hockey before the cup run for obvious reasons. We didn't grow up with hockey. Obviously, all the transplants from other places aren't like us. I don't know, man. I think anywhere that wins, fans get excited. Any sport, I don't think it matters. And I think the fans here get excited if they think that the Predators are a team that can win. And as a fan, I'll tell you right now, I'm excited. I don't know if this team can win the cup or not. I know that the moves they made today, though, and hearing Andrew Burnett talk about it and the excitement in his voice, he thinks they think that they have a team that can compete for the cup. And again, the margins are so thin in this sport that this could be the difference. What a fun day to be a Predators fan. That's it for us. We are out of here. The Cats Brewhouse Blitz is next. Stillman and Company, the fallout from today. We'll do that tomorrow at 2.